Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has a different threshold. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains religious persecution involving women, murder, witchcraft, and discussions on magic. If all of that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up The Cryptid Catalog. Killian, have you ever been accused of doing something you know you didn't do? Yeah.
One time. Mm-hmm. One time I said, I didn't do this. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom's like, Killian James. And I'm like, I didn't do it.
How would it make you feel if you told the truth and no one believed you?
That's happened a million times.
Okay. Killian, today we are going to dive into the dark depths of American history for a story that revolves around gang mentality, wild accusations, witchcraft, and murder.
Wait, I know what an execution is.
You do? What is it?
An execution is when somebody gets accused of that they done something,
mm-hmm.
and they just acute, and they just murder them for no reason. From doing witchcraft.
Kind of. We'll get into that. Yes, okay.
Yeah, I watched a video.
Oh, okay. So today, Killian, we are talking about the Salem witch trials.
Yes, baby. I've waited for 8 years.
You haven't been alive 8 years. All right, let's open up the Cryptid Catalog for a very Halloween episode and find out more.
Ooh.
So, Killian, to start off, what do you already know about the Salem witch trials, if you know anything?
I know everything.
Wait a minute. Did you watch a Colossal Questions about the Salem witch trials?
Well, I've only watched a half.
Okay, so hold on. Okay, so you actually do know a lot about the Salem witch trials then. All right, so let's go ahead and let's get into it, and you can chime in with what you know so we can tell all of our...
I would like to learn more of that.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to learn more because I only watched a half of the episode.
So you only know half of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So...
yeah, I know that three ladies were executed and some...
Mm-hmm.
And some women were making crazy poses.
Okay. Well, what I will tell you is you're almost right, but can I tell you a secret? It was way more than three women. Way more. You want me to get started with the story?
Yeah.
Okay. So the last time we talked about witches was during our Bell Witch of Adams, Tennessee episode that we did all the way back in January of this year. The story of the Bell Witch happened in 1817. For a timeline perspective, the Salem witch trials started in 1692, a full 125 years before the Bell family moved to Tennessee. So we did cover witch history in the Bell Witch episode, but just to give like a very brief recap, witches have been said to have been around since the dawn of time. Mystical beings, both men and women, who have always been outside the realm of normal societal standards, with the exception of paganism, where witchcraft was much more common. In the year 1416, the book The Malleus Male Fictorum, or The Hammer of the Witches, I don't know if I said that right, but...
So, I have a cough, so I might be coughing in the middle of the episode.
You're also very stuffy.
Mm-hmm.
But you're fine.
Fine.
Yeah. All right. But good warning them. You don't want anybody to be worried. Okay. So the book, it's called The Hammer of the Witches, was written. This book outlined how to identify, hunt, and kill witches. This book is the reason witch hunts happened all across Europe in the Middle Ages. For the next 300 years, witch hunting became a popular profession, and people would search the land for anyone suspected of being a witch, and they would use the methods outlined in The Hammer of the Witches to kill them.
Why would they kill witches? We need witches to heal people. And
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, we need witches to heal people, help people.
Yeah.
And help them travel, because, like, really long ago, mm-hmm. they didn't have vehicles.
You're correct.
Because engineers didn't know how to build vehicles. So yeah. I think witches would come in handy to bring them, to get them to travel.
I don't disagree with you. I think that's a very smart way to think. But can I give you can I just tell you something?
Yeah.
Not all people were as enlightened as you back in the day. More specifically, not a lot of men were as enlightened as you, but we're going to talk about that more in a second, okay? Now, North America started to be colonized in the early 1600s, and with that colonization, many different religious groups came to America searching for a place to practice their religion without persecution from their European counterparts. Some of the religious groups that came over were the Puritans, Pilgrims, aka the Separatists. I know your feelings on Pilgrims, just hold on. The Church of England, the Quakers, the Roman Catholic Church, the Congregationalists, the Lutherans, the Dutch Reformed Church, and many, many more. This is obviously a very, very simple explanation of early American colonization, and if that interests you, please research it because there is a lot of information.
I don't know what this means. All this means.
You know what the colonization means? You do know what that means. Remember how I told you that people from other countries came to America when they didn't think it had been discovered already? Uh-huh. I remember they took land from people. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember that stupid story.
Okay, enough with the stupid, but yes.
Okay.
You remember that story? Okay, so that's what colonization is. Now, of all of these religious groups, the Puritans were the ones who settled in Salem, Massachusetts. Puritans were a religious group that needed everything to be pure. They took the Bible very seriously, and there were lots of very strict rules on how to act, especially for women. Now, here's where we get into things. Remember how we just talked about that? Okay, so now it's important to the story to talk about the oppression of women in the Puritan society. A Puritan woman could not choose a role for herself, and they would be raised to be only mothers and wives. They were restricted to housework and taking care of the family, while men could participate in public activities or hold formal positions in authority. Women were often made to be seen, not heard, which we all know is terrible, but historically that was what was happening. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
So people thought that women, simply because they were women, didn't get to do all the same. I know, you're making a very angry fist in the air. You're just the best little feminist. It's really horrible, but that's how it was.
But hey, this is why we study history. Mm-hmm. Because we've gotten it wrong for a long time. And if we don't learn history and learn all the ways that people made mistakes,
we can't learn from them. So also in 1689, King William's War was taking place. This created a lot of refugees from neighboring areas and saw lots of ships coming through the ports of Salem. This influx of people, which just means this like big, like extra group of people.
Hey, can we talk about the Sandersons in this one?
Hold on. This influx of people exhausted Salem's food supply. It brought in a lot of people who didn't think the same as the Puritans and caused a lot of trouble for the people in Salem. So, in short, women were oppressed by the men of colonial Salem, and there were hundreds of new people in the town that did not follow the same Puritan beliefs. So, tensions were high, people were angry, people were nervous. things were crazy, and the closed-minded men in power, they were probably the angriest. Historically, this does not bode well for anyone. Okay, so that was a lot of history, but we had to paint a picture of this small town overrun with people and strange beliefs in order for us to understand what happened next. The people of Salem believed that all of the problems that were happening were the work of the devil challenging their faith. In January of 1692, Reverend Parris's daughter Elizabeth, who was 9 years old, and niece Abigail Williams, 11 years old, started having something that they were calling fits. They would scream, throw things, gurgle strange sounds, and contort themselves in awkward positions. So what you said, awkward poses, remember?
Yeah, poses. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I said.
Yes.
That's what I meant.
You were perfectly correct. Okay. We would now recognize these things as something kind of like from the Exorcist movie. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. Who were they kind of acting like? Do you remember what her name is?
Reagan.
Yeah,
but they were like flying in the air like this.
No, they really weren't. They weren't. Reagan had much more realistic effects.
He was like,
okay, so a local doctor took one look at the girls and blamed the supernatural. Spoiler alert, we actually don't have a good reason for what was happening with the girls, but the best theory out there is that they have maybe ate some bad food and that made them sick. Some people think that they were faking the whole thing.
I think that they just, like, were like, I think they just, like, I think.
Okay.
They just, like, I forgot what I was going to say.
That's fine. So days later, another girl, Ann Putnam, age 11, experienced a similar situation. On February 29th, under extreme pressure from the magistrates Jonathan Corwin and John Hawthorne, all three of the girls blamed three women for possessing them. Tituba, the Paris's Caribbean slave, Sarah Good, a homeless woman, and Sarah Osborne, an elderly poor woman. So they took the three people who people probably already had a bad opinion on for no good reason at all, and they blamed them. So everybody was like, of course it's them, you know? Mm-hmm. So on March 1st, 1692, all three women were brought before the local judges and interrogated for several days. Now, I'll tell you something. Mommy, you know how Mommy has a podcast where she talks about crime? We know now that you cannot interrogate or question people for that many days or hours. It makes them say things that aren't necessarily true because they're so tired and so ready to not be questioned anymore. So now we know that what they did was very wrong.
If I was born in history, mm-hmm. I would be like, ooh, I'm going to get these people back. I'm going to get these people back for doing that.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. I'm going to be like, wee, just dropping down on people.
Oh, so you're saying if you traveled back in time. Gotcha.
And I would like,
gotcha.
Like, we am going to get you. For getting those women. Boop, right. Punch you.
Okay, enough violence. So Osborne claimed innocence, as did Good. But Tituba confessed, and she said, quote, "The devil came to me and bid me serve him." She described elaborate images of black dogs, red cats, yellow birds, and a black man who wanted her to sign his book. She admitted that she signed the book and said that there were several other witches looking to destroy the Puritans. So all three women were put in jail. Tituba's words, quote, "other witches looking to destroy the Puritans," sent the town of Salem into a complete frenzy. Like, they went full-blown panic mode. So
I thought that they like... They're like, hey, let's be friends again. They would be like...
Well, no, they thought that there was now a group of women who were trying to destroy their lives and their towns and their families.
Cute.
They thought that because... I don't have a great answer for that reason why, but they did. So over the next few months, the crazed townspeople of Salem completely lost their minds. They acted out in fear and began to turn on each other. The fear that the devil had come to Salem was too much for them. The primary recipients of this fear were women, largely women who are outside of the Puritan belief system. The Puritan church used these women as an example of why everyone should fall in line with the Puritan church. But there were some people, even within the church, who were accused of witchcraft.
They were
turning on their own. So anyone could claim that anyone was a witch. And one day, someone blamed Martha Corey, a loyal member of the Church of Salem. This is what you have to understand. So let's say you and I lived in Salem during the time of all of this. Mm-hmm. And let's say that mommy made you mad one day. Maybe mommy took a toy from you or did something that you didn't like. You know what you could have done?
What?
You could have gone to the men in the town and said, guess what? I think my mommy's a witch. And they would have believed you. So people were taking it and pretending that their enemies were witches so that the town would take care of their enemies and get rid of them. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's like...
Isn't that crazy?
That's brutal.
It's very brutal. You're correct. People were horrified. If she could be a witch, then anyone could be. So judges even questioned Sarah Good's 4-year-old daughter, Dorothy, and her shy answers were construed as a confession, and she was jailed. A 4-year-old named a witch. That's how scared these people were, that they were letting kids make these decisions. On May 27th, 1692, Governor William Phipps ordered the establishment of a special court to listen to and judge the witches. The first case was that of Mrs. Bridget Bishop, an older woman known for her gossipy habits. When asked if she committed witchcraft, Bishop responded, quote, "I am as innocent as the child unborn." The court didn't like her response, and she was the first woman to be hanged in Salem, in the spot that would come to be known as Gallows Hill, on June 10th, 1692. And that's hanging is execution, like what you talked about. After the first hanging, Salem became a horrifying world of accusations, fear-mongering, and threats. And by threats, I mean if a man caught a woman doing something that he didn't like, he could tell the woman that he would tell the courts about her being a witch if she didn't do what he wanted her to do. That happened all across Salem during this time. In July, 5 people were sentenced and hanged, and then another 5 were hanged in August. The process was quick, and a person could be charged with witchcraft in the morning, judged by lunch, and then sentenced to die later that day. The judging would include a test. People with strange moles or birthmarks, you know what that means? You know how mommy has, look, you see how mommy has these little moles all over her body?
Uh-huh.
People thought that that meant you were a witch. I'm not, don't leave that. Or birthmarks, which you have a birthmark on your back. If someone saw that, they might think you were a witch. Probably not, though, because you were a boy. Right.
They
wouldn't really care because you're a boy. It was more about women.
Wait, I do have a birthmark.
You do, right here on your lower back.
Where?
On your lower back. You can't see it because it's your back.
Where does it have?
I'll show you later. So birthmarks and moles were seen as impure and were thought to be places where the devil had drank the blood of the person, which is really ridiculous because you can't help the moles on your body.
Oh, wait.
What?
I think... It was another reason, too.
Why?
That they thought that moles were warts.
Oh, maybe.
Because.
Warts. Yeah, warts,
because
too.
Because witches have warts.
Sometimes.
See? Huh?
Sometimes, yeah. Okay, so another witch test would be the swimming test. An accused witch would be stripped down to her undergarments, have a rope tied around her waist, and then be thrown into the deep waters of the Salem Harbor to see if they sank or if they floated. The idea was that a witch couldn't be baptized. Baptizing is a thing that Christian religions do as a symbolic representation of being purified of sin in the eyes of their God. People who floated, they thought, were witches because their bodies were rejecting the purified water. People who sank were not witches.
So but, they would like pull them
so,
out?
Well, so think about it. It wasn't uncommon. If they sank all the way to the bottom, people are like, oh, good, they're not a witch. But guess what? They're at the bottom of the water. What does that mean?
They're dead.
Yeah, they're dead. They drowned. And then if they floated and they survived, they were a witch. And then what happened after that? They were executed. So either way, they were going to die. And you know how the other crazy part is? Most people float because it's what our bodies do, right? We float in the pool. Like we're in the pool, we float. So
yeah.
And you can't help that. Crazy, right?
Wait.
What?
There's another, other one they did in Salem.
What do you know?
They tied up people they put a stick in a haystack.
Okay.
And they tied a person to the stick on the very haystack, and they lit the haystack on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And if they burned, they were not witches. But if they did not, they were witches.
Okay, so while you are not wrong, you are correct. Burning at the stake is what that's called, and that didn't happen during the Salem witch trials in Salem. It happened in other places, and it happened in Europe, but it didn't happen in Salem.
So today we're talking about just the Salem witch trials, but you are absolutely correct, because what not a lot of people know, people think that there were only witch trials or a mass hysteria like this in Salem, but that's not true. There were witch hunts all over, and there were actually some witch hunts that were far more deadly than Salem. But you are right, in some of those witch hunts, that is exactly what happened to the women. They got tied to the stake and burned, just like that. It just didn't happen in Salem, but it happened in
The Hunchback.
It did happen in The Hunchback. You are absolutely... And what did he think she was?
A witch.
Basically. It's kind of one big version of that story, right? Mm-hmm. And what? He burned her. Why? For what reason?
No reason.
Exactly. It's the same thing. You were absolutely... That was a good example. Okay, so there's another test called the prayer test. This one is pretty simple. If a person was a witch, they would not be able to read the pure words of the Bible. If a person could read the Bible out loud, then they would be cleared of being a witch. So that one was pretty easy. There were many more tests.
No executions.
No executions in that one. But you know what? Sometimes people back then didn't have the best schooling, so maybe they didn't know how to read. So that seemed unfair because a lot of people, they didn't think about educating women. They didn't think educating women was that important. So a lot of the women probably didn't know how to read. So just another one of those examples. So there are many, many more tests that were carried out to judge the accused witches. We just don't have the time to get into all of them. And some of them are pretty gruesome. A man named Giles Corey was accused of witchcraft. So there were men that were accused. And he even passed the prayer test. But because he would neither confirm or deny that he was a witch, he was killed anyway. They dragged him to the middle of Salem, laid him on the ground, and put a board on his back. And then they started to lay heavy stones on him until he was crushed to death. Isn't that wild?
Uh-huh.
Horrible. The hanging...
And that's what the Bella Wish did to John Bell.
She crushed him? I don't remember that.
I think.
Maybe. I don't remember that.
Yeah, they said that.
Oh, one of your videos? So the hangings and the killings were all done in the public. Everybody in the town stood around and watched it. People were invited to watch, and do you know why?
Why?
Because it was a scare tactic. That way people would... force people to follow the Puritan rules, because if they didn't, then they would have the same fate that these people who were being executed would. Mm-hmm. Over the course of the year, 19 people were killed for witchcraft. Over 200 were accused and jailed, and an unknown number of people died in jail during the witch testings. Contrary to popular belief, no one was burned at the stake in Salem for being a witch. Do you know what stopped the Salem witch trials? So Governor Phipps's wife was accused of being a witch. And when his own wife got accused, he stopped the whole thing, which seems kind of unfair. He thought it was good to kill other people's wives and mothers and sisters, but he didn't want his own wife to die. So,
well, I think it's really fair.
Well, I think it's good that he stopped it. So I guess that's a good point.
That he stopped it because he wanted other wives to be saved.
Oh, I think he only wanted his wife to be safe.
Yeah, but died.
Huh?
Sadly, your wife died from executions. Mm.
So it's funny how the wife of the person in power was very quickly spared from the trials and the entire witch hunting chaos was finally called off. So following the trials and executions, many involved, like Judge Samuel Sewall, publicly confessed a mistake. On January 14th, 1697, the court ordered a day of fasting and soul searching for the tragedy of Salem. In 1702, the court declared the trials were unlawful. They basically figured out, they were like, the whole thing was a big, big mistake. However, it was not until 1957, more than 250 years later, that Massachusetts formally apologized for the events of 1692. So that's the Salem witch trials in a very, very short format. We don't have a story today because it was a lot of history. And also, the history was the story itself, right? So what do you think about what would you think the craziest part of the Salem witch trials is?
That they executed every, almost like 1,800 people.
Well, not in Salem specifically. Not in Salem specifically, but that number, if we counted all the witch trials that took place all over the world, that number might be actually correct.
Yeah, we would have been old people when we got done with this episode.
I don't know what you're doing.
Because 800...
If we went over all 1,800...
Oh, if we went... I understand. If we went over everything, yes, we would probably be old people by the end of this episode if we went over everything. So what do you think? Do you think the Salem witch trials were a good thing or a bad thing?
B-A-D.
Okay.
Bad thing.
Bad thing. And you think that while it's kind of hard to hear about all the bad stuff that happened, do you think now that you've heard the story and you think that you want to make sure we never repeat those mistakes again? This is why learning about history is so important. Because how will we know what mistakes our ancestors made if we don't learn about it? Uh-huh. Right?
Uh-huh.
Very important. So as much as this was a hard episode with a lot of sad stuff and a lot of information, it's information that is very important even in today's America. So that is all we have for the Salem witch trials. I hope you guys enjoyed the Halloween episode. And that is all we have. Well, thank you for listening. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been
The Cryptid Catalog.
Until next time, remember,
the cryptids are watching.
Thank you for listening to The Cryptid Catalog. This show is hosted by Karina and Killian Beamesterfer. Written, researched, and edited by Dylan Beamesterfer. And the music was created and performed by Will Shelton. Grown-ups, if you would like to help support the show, please take a second to finish out the episode and listen to some ads.